Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome to Chip Chat. My name is Allison Klein. Today, I'm joined by Toby Ford, Assistant Vice President of Cloud Technology, Strategy, and Planning at AT&T. Welcome, Toby.
Hi, Allison. How are you today?
I'm good. Why don't you just start and tell me a little bit about your role as the Assistant VP of Cloud Technology, Strategy, and Planning at AT&T?
Sure. So I'm one of the architects that's a part of the transformation team we call Domain 2. Part of our effort to move toward network function virtualization and SDN.
AT&T has been very vocal about your goals associated with deployment of network function virtualization. Can you tell me a little bit about those goals and why this is such an important initiative for AT&T?
So from now forward until 2020, our target is to move 75% of our network traffic over to network function virtualization. And that's a central goal for us because we have to meet market expectations on how much bandwidth we provide, the mobile connectivity we provide, enterprise connectivity services we do. And the expectations are such that we have to do it in a more real-time way, a faster way, essentially. And we felt like we had to transition from more of a hardware-centric to a software-centric way of working. Not entirely move over to software, but certainly more in that direction and use more agile methods to achieve our goals.
Now, I know that part of this transition for AT&T involves embracing open source and open standards, including the OpenStack framework. Can you tell me a little bit about why this is important as part of that goal for network function virtualization?
I mean, it starts with standards. You know, the process of creating standards like 3GPP or other network standards, it takes a long time to get an agreement, and then even when it's agreed on, the implementations are not always standard. This has been part of the problem is the speed. And what we've seen with things like OpenStack, the project has enabled a new kind of standardization where the API of a reference implementation gets out in the market and people use it and build on it, and it's something that becomes more of the de facto standard. Vendors can then work behind it, creating an ecosystem of vendors around it that comes more from the implementation and coding side than actually designed by committee. This has accelerated the process of creating standards that we can use. Now, beyond that, open source offers a lot of other benefits. One of the bigger things for us is about IP friction, especially when it's something that's table stakes, everybody has it. You know, it doesn't make sense to have a lot of interfaces one-on-one between us and vendors or us and other operators or service providers if we want to work on something that's essentially the same or non-differentiated. So, I mean, in those cases, open source has been very helpful to collaborate and reuse instead of reinvent the wheel.
Tell me a little bit about why this move to virtualized networks is so critical in terms of addressing customer demand on the network moving forward.
So I'll give you one example this way. So at the optical level, as we put in fiber between our buildings and between us and our customer or other providers, when we did it in the past, it was a very physical operation. And when we wanted to change allocations from one customer to another or from our own internal use to customers, it was always a very lengthy and manual physical process to do that, changing the wavelengths around, reconfiguring things, both physically and then logically within the devices. Now we've switched to a model where we're using a thing we're calling Open ROADM, which allows us to use APIs to change the configuration of the fibers at a software level. And this allows us to change and reroute traffic much more easily, makes it possible to bring up new connections to customers real time instead of taking 4 to 6 weeks that it took before.
I know you're also involved in the OPNFV project. Can you tell me about that?
OPNFV is another open source project and a unique one. It doesn't actually make function itself. It is intended to be a place where telcos and cable companies, other operators get together to actually work on the common table stakes around a solution. testing, the integration, the deployment, writing specification and understanding the requirements. It's a friendly place for operators to work at that they can put their requirements into. And then it creates a kind of level playing field for many solutions to fit into. At present, after the most recent release, the Colorado release, we have 48 different combinations of software like OpenStack and OpenDaylight or OpenStack and Onos, and with three or four different types of deployment engines from Red Hat or from Canonical. And it allows us to set up and reuse the same testing framework, both for functionality and for performance, to make it so that we can validate that each thing is the same or has the same function or the same performance. It's unique because there's not really any other project that does this. It enables an ecosystem, but it doesn't actually make a distribution per se. So that's another one of the projects that we're actively involved in.
What are the others that you think are important for the industry to invest time in terms of the full offering of cloud service provider software to drive this transition to virtualized networks?
So the space that I'm really tuned into lately is around software-defined networks. Software-defined networks is a very overloaded term, but for me, it means a few things. There's examples that are controllers. There's examples that are data plane, things that happen inside the hypervisor host or underneath containers. And then there's the network operating systems that run within the switches. Each of these has been called software-defined networks. Today, we're using each one of those to implement the kind of networking that we're looking to do. And so projects like OpenDaylight, Open Contrail, and now the new version of the Open Networking Foundation with the ON Lab included, these are really important projects for us. And then the more recent one, the FDIO, which brings together EPP and DPDK, this is another project that we're watching very closely. Because this space is quite nascent, both at a functional level and integration level, but also at a performance level. We're looking to get quite a lot of performance out of commodity servers, and this space has a lot of work to do to be able to meet that. So we're leveraging the community as much as possible to help us.
All of this investment in open source helps AT&T drive to that ambitious goal of 75% of networking functions being virtualized by 2020. How do you think you guys are doing on the goal, and where do you see the most progress in the organization that are signs that you can share with us on the success of moving from more fixed function technology to virtualized services?
So we're well along the path at this point. We've gone through and virtualized, as we've announced, Network On Demand and then Flexware. These are business services that are running on this common platform in an NFV SDN type of way. Now we've moved on. We have also enabled our AT&T Collaborate offering, which is part of our voice services. And our voice services have been the next thing in order of things that we've moved over. And that's well along the way toward even a subset of our consumer voice is done over a software-defined network. And then now we're right in the middle of our deployment of the first of the EPC or MPC functions. And those are going in now. And then we intend to really scale up users on that platform by the end of next year. And then the last piece is the network functions that are video related. So anything around transcoding and delivery of content for DirecTV, that's another platform that has used the cloud very effectively. And now we're bringing that over into our common platform as well. So we're well along the way on each of these, and we expect to be in production for almost every area by the end of this year, at least a subset of, and then scaled for larger loads next year at the end of the year.
Well, Toby, it's been a real pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for your insights on the open source efforts that are going on in the industry to drive this important network transformation. We'd love to have you back on the program again soon.
You're welcome. Appreciate the opportunity.
Visit ChipChat online at intel.com/chipchat. And for more information on data center technologies, visit intel.com/bigdata, intel.com/cloud, and intel.com/datacenteroptimization.